Well, we do welcome you here today. What we hope or expect to have happen here today is that you'll get to learn about the name of God, Elohim, God as Creator. And so we want you to walk away from here today praising Him because you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, as you can see our introductory slide here from William Shakespeare's play Romeo and Juliet, Act 2, Scene 2, a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. That is spoken by Juliet when she contemplates that Romeo is from the rival family. And what does a name really matter? And of course, that famous question, what's in a name? You've heard that many a times. And so she's trying to dismiss the fact that, yes, they're warring families, and why does this really matter? It shouldn't matter. And so it becomes a synopsis of what Shakespeare believed, that names really don't matter. But, of course, in the story, it did matter because she was a Capulet. That was her family name. And Romeo's was Montague. And they loathed each other and they could not get along. And, of course, you know it's a romantic tragedy in the end. And what Juliet exposes is the ridiculousness of the feud between the two families over who they are. So it suggests that Shakespeare's belief was the name means little, that it's the worth of the individual that counts. Now, we're going to start a series on the names of God. And so in the top left-hand corner, the names of God. Today, we're going to learn about the name of God, Elohim. I want to ask you to turn to a difficult passage, Genesis 1:1. I think you can do that. But in the modern world, it is true that we don't value the significance of a name. We don't associate that in any way with how those in the Bible world were given names, or the reason that the parents would work so hard to steer them in the direction, almost as a prophecy, fulfilling the name that they gave to their child. And so there was a widespread tradition in biblical times that personal names gave information describing in some way who the people were. And so the Old Testament then celebrates the naming of individuals, and God even names Himself, right? And so God's introductory name that He wants you to know Him by is Elohim, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. But the name here means God Himself, as He reveals Himself by His Word and by His actions, the deeds that He does. So this is an important name. It helps us understand the doctrine of God and the doctrine of how He has revealed Himself to us. So this is the very first name God reveals to all of humanity, that He's Elohim. The name of God is a personal disclosure and reveals His relationship with His people. His name is known only because He chooses to make it known. We wouldn't know who God is unless He chose to tell us. And He tells us that He is Elohim. So let's look at some general information then concerning God's name. But God is Creator. He's powerful. He's transcendent. And He's holy. And so let's look here at the general information that we see. First of all, it's about revelation. The Old Testament prophets spoke with authority and said, "Thus saith the Lord." When God would speak, they uttered His authority because of His name. We understand, according to Genesis 1:1 and in Genesis 1:2, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, that He is Creator. Now, the word for God here in verse 1 and 2, and the earth was void and without form, and the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Elohim, was hovering above the waters. We understand that through faith the worlds were framed, by the very word of God. We heard that in Sunday school this morning. So the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Whereas God is Elohim, He made everything out of nothing. You can't do that. Neither can I. Science can't replicate that. God's power, His majesty. Now, in the New Testament, God manifests or clearly shows us His name in Jesus Christ. Jesus, when He came, He said He was manifesting the God's, His Father's name. But you know what? The angel named Jesus, "You shall call His name Jesus." What's the significance of that name? "For He shall save His people from their sins." And so we know that there is salvation in God through Jesus. We know that God is Elohim, is Creator, and by faith we understand that He's so powerful He made everything out of nothing. Ex nihilo. And no one else has that power. So He is a magnificent being. So He reveals Himself to us. But you know, even Jesus in His dying words used a form of El or Elohim or Eloah in saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast you forsaken me?" And so Jesus fully pays for our sins and suffered the wrath of God. Now, in Exodus chapter 20, the third commandment, "Thou shalt not take the name of thy Lord thy God in vain." He will not hold us guiltless if we do that. So that's why, if you're watching online or listening here in person, it's why we don't use the name of God in cuss or swear words. Because that is breaking that third commandment. And we also need to be very careful of what we use as substitutes. We call those euphemisms. And we need to be very careful because we're using the name of God in a lighthearted way to substitute it. But our culture is set up like that. T blank IF, all right, thank it's Friday, all right. Or we say OM. And these are ways that we're using God's name in a light, in a flippant way. So we need to reverence God's name. And so today, as you reverence God's name, I think that you'll understand Elohim as Creator and then some of the applications. You'll walk away praising Him for disclosing Himself to you as God Elohim. Now, here's a slide that I want to show you. I'm just going to go to this next one. So, revelation, reverence, and then the third point there, letter C, is reading. So, let's go to the next slide here. Elohim is written in your Bible. And can you see that type? Yeah, it's kind of faint. But as God, all right? Adonai is written as Lord, capital L. All the following letters then are lowercase, L-O-R-D. But Jehovah is written as Lord in all capital letters. So if you take your Bibles and you were to go over to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, and I'll just go back to that previous slide. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord." Now, do you see the font there? How that's all capital letters? Behind that is the Hebrew word Jehovah. The Lord our God. Behind the word God is Elohim. The Lord our God is one Lord. Or Jehovah our Elohim is one Jehovah. So that's a little bit for you when you're reading your Bibles that you can see that. Now, another name, Adonai, that we won't get into today's message is the word Lord, but it's lowercase letters. So you'll know the difference now when you read your Bibles. But here's what is important as we come out of this. We read sometimes and we fail to appreciate the significance of God's name. We forget. We don't pay attention to what is actually being communicated to us in a person's name. And so let's look then at some specific information concerning God's name today, the name Elohim. Genesis 1:1 and 2, in the beginning, Elohim created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of Elohim moved upon the face of the waters. And then notice with me Psalm 139, verse 14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. So we're to praise God. So Elohim is creator. Now, you see letter A here, implied Trinity. All right, now, went too far. In the Old Testament, the plurality of God's person is implied. It is clearly stated and revealed in the New Testament. But you can look at it and you can see it in the Old Testament. Elohim is plural. It's a plural noun. And if we were to use this word in some other places in the Old Testament, referring to pagan gods with a small g, it would be the Elohim, gods. And we're going to look at a couple of passages today that if we look at it with Elohim as the God, that passage will become a little bit clearer. But there is implied Trinity. And so it's known as a plural of majesty. That's the technical Hebrew term for a plural of majesty. God is majestic. And there's no other way to look at God, to know Him, other than He's a majestic God. It's a revelation of the infinite nature of God. Now, think about this for a moment. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We're, this week as a nation, we're so excited. We're getting pictures back from what planet? Mars. All right, you've been paying attention to the news. And we successfully landed a rover there. And so now we're all like, yippee, we're the best in the world, right? Well, what if we tried to do that in the next galaxy? Would we live long enough to see the communication come back to us? Many hundreds of thousands of light years away. And we're contemplating sending a manned mission to Mars, but those that send them might not be alive, and they might not live to get back, because that's how far away it is and the risks that are involved. Decades could go by. Well, think of the vastness and the infinite aspect to space. It's just infinite. But God was there before that. So as creator, He's not bound by the limits of the universe, which is infinite and can't contain Him anyway. But He made it, so He's not contained in it. God is not bound by time, because He created time. He's above and beyond time. And so this is how infinite Elohim is. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. He is majestic. So it's implied here in the fact that in verse 2, the Spirit of God. All right, now if you're in Genesis 1, go down to verse 26 and 27. Then Elohim said, let us make man in our image. Interesting. Plural pronouns to communicate the plurality of persons within the Godhead. Now, we don't necessarily defend the Trinity by these one passages, but it's there. And so you can't exist as a unity of persons. You're just you. But God can do this. This is how majestic Elohim is. Now, each one of the persons in the Godhead is known as creator. You've got God and the Spirit of God in Genesis 1:1 and 2. But then in the Gospel of John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him. That is the Word, Jesus. And so Jesus Christ is Creator God. We know that according to Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, and chapter 3, that he spoke all things into existence, and he continuously upholds all things by the word of his power. You know why we're here today? It's because Elohim is upholding his creation by the word of his power. He didn't just wind the clock up, set it down, and walk away from it. No, he's there every day commanding the sun to come up in its course. Think of the beautiful systems that God has put into place. The systems of the seasons. Aren't you excited about spring coming pretty soon? I was out in my yard early this morning looking at where light was falling on the ground thinking, I wonder if I can get some seeds in there to get a head start. All right. But I can do that every year because I know the seasons are coming. It's just the same year after year. Look, I can be excited about my Santa Rosa plum tree because I know that God has made that tree in such a way that it will produce fruit every year. And the animals will produce themselves over and over again. The plants will produce themselves over and over again. The seasons will come over and over and over again. So God doesn't have to create over and over and over again. He did it one time and he did it so perfectly that when he gets to the end of it, he says, it's very good. We have to figure these things out as people in trial and error. But God didn't make any mistakes. And he's so good that it goes through. He's so majestic. And so we see the implied Trinity. And then let's look here at letter B, implicit trust. And this is where the application of the message, I hope, will hit home and you'll learn to praise and appreciate God. So the God of Scripture possesses personal names, titles, and these names are usually descriptions of His character and power. Now, if you go back and you look at Genesis 1, 1 and 2, this is what we know about Elohim. That the earth was void and without what? Form. Here's what Elohim can do. He can bring order out of chaos. Do you think for a moment in your chaotic life that God cannot take care of you and order your steps? The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. Think about the chaos that we go through. Elohim is big enough to take care of that and to straighten all of that out. If God, who can make the universe just by commanding it with the word of His breath, cannot He command the steps of your life and take care of you? You see, man was made last because he's the most dependent. God made everything first and man last because man would need everything. You know, this is the part of God's character, is that my God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory through Christ Jesus. God takes care of you. Do you need God to take care of you? Then rejoice. Praise Him. Because He is Elohim. He's Creator. He can do this. He's the strong one. That's what the word Elohim means. The strong one. He's the powerful governor of the universe and all the affairs of mankind. This name Elohim occurs 2,500 times in the Old Testament alone. And when we read verses like Genesis 1:1, remember that this one is your God in all the circumstances of life. That's breathtaking to contemplate. This is God Elohim. And when we call on the name of the Lord, we invoke His power to act. It is in a great sin to then abuse this name by swearing or some other profane usage of God's name. God defends His name. His reputation is His name. It's His character. And He says in the Psalms 46 verse 10, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in all of the earth. Well, I'd like you to go over to one particular song, a psalm that uses the name of Elohim. It's Psalm 62. And so let's just read that particular psalm. And then we'll just make a few passing comments, make a couple of closing applications, and then be done. Psalm 62. Truly my soul waiteth upon Elohim. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall shall ye be, and a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Salah. Verse 5. My soul wait only upon Elohim, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In Elohim is my salvation, my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in Elohim. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your hearts before him. Elohim is a refuge for us. Salah. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be led in the balance, as they are altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. Elohim hath spoken once. Twice have I heard him. That power belongeth unto Elohim. Also unto thee, O Lord. Now that would be Adonai, if you see the spelling there. Belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his works. Here are seven things that we can learn about Elohim. God is Elohim. First of all, salvation. From God cometh my salvation, verse 1. Expectation. What are you hoping for? You hope in Elohim, for my expectation is from him, verse 5. Protection, verse 7. In Elohim is my salvation, my glory. Power. Verse 7, the rock of my strength and my refuge is in Elohim. Safety, verse 8, Elohim is a refuge for us. Revelation, verse 11, God hath spoken. Do you need answers to life's questions? Google can't answer these kinds of questions. Only Elohim can do that. Possession, power belongeth unto God. Now, here's the problem with humanity. People want to use Elohim without acknowledging him. Don't use God without acknowledging him. Praise him for who he is. And we want to use all of his gifts that he gives to us without acknowledging him. Here's an example. Have you ever heard of this scientific term called intelligent design? Intelligent design acknowledges that there is a master plan to what you see, but yet they will not put the name of God or Elohim as that master designer. They fail to do that. And so they'll rely upon all of his systems that he's put in, the tides and the trajectory of the earth and the rotation of the earth and how to get things into space. We use that all the time, the seasons, but we never want to acknowledge him. So let's not do that. But then God introduces himself to us, to you, with this name, because he wants you to get life, your life, started here. God is your creator. You're responsible then. Accountable to God. You see, here's another area that people use God all the time. Live life, but then not in submission to him. Without any thought of accountability that I've got a meeting. So God wants you to start life here. You know, when he was done, he rested. Not because he was exhausted. Now, as a pastor, I do get exhausted from preaching, but God never got exhausted from talking and on the first day said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And matter of fact, when God was all done and finished, he said, "It is good." Well, you see, he didn't rest because he was exhausted. He rested because, well, it was finished. And here's Elohim. Jesus Christ ascended to heaven and sat down at the right hand of the Father on high because his work is finished. Salvation is paid for. And you can rest and trust in him because he is God Elohim. He's your creator God. Yes, Jesus is creator. And without him was not anything made that was made. The Gospel of John chapter 1. But he finished the work of salvation for you on the cross. Let life begin there. Believe in him. Trust him. Repent and put your faith in him. And it's very interesting in Romans chapter 10, we're called and told to call upon the name of the Lord. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so call on his name. You're distinguishing your trust in him alone by making a distinction from any other person or being in the universe. You're calling upon God to exercise his creative power, and here's what God will do. Therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. You see, people deceive themselves so much that they think that they're something and that they're bound and determined always to be that something. But you know what? The power of Elohim can change a person. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and he says, "And such were some of you." God gives us a new identity. He makes us a new being in Christ Jesus. And this is the power of God who will create new life within you. And the psalmist concluded that, "I will praise him, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." And so the name of God, therefore, includes everything by which he makes himself known. Will you call upon him in salvation because he finished the work and paid for your sins? All you can do is believe. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. Yeah, you're a sinner, and yes, you need a Savior, and God is that Savior. Put your trust in him. Then think about God as he introduces himself to you. He's the strong one, the powerful one, the creator. He takes care of you. Everything you need. Think about that. The God that brings order out of chaos. What a good God. What a powerful God we have. Let's pray.